Hello and welcome to this episode of Keep It Positive, Sweetie. I'm Crystal Renee Hazlett, and today I have my good friend Chester Trey Rogers with me. We are talking about all things, just all things life. How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
Good.
First of all, I want to thank you for, you know, blessing me with your platform.
Aww.
I just want to say I'm proud of you, everything you got going. So.
Thank you. I'm proud of you too. That's why I wanted you on the sofa.
Thank
Had
you.
To get you on the couch so we could really talk about everything because people need to know your story.
Absolutely.
I feel like they really do.
It's time.
It is time, you know? When I think about you, I think about transitions. And since I've known you, it's been a transitional period in your life. And I think about the quote that says, "Many speak of opportunities. When one door closes, another one opens. But rarely about the hallway, the transition, the in-between where you are and where you're headed. The hallway doesn't have to be a scary, dark, endless confusion. It can be a space of massive transformation, great memories, and peace." And that's where I feel like you are right now.
That's a good one. Absolutely.
Yes. Yeah. So, Trey, you are from Huntsville, Alabama. Mm-hmm. You are an actor and an NFL player, entrepreneur, and investor. When I first met you, we were in the gym. We had the same trainer.
Mm-hmm.
And you were I think it was all season, but you were also just kind of getting your feet wet back into the acting world.
Yeah, I think we had just started filming season 2 of BMF when I started at the gym. So,
wow,
yeah.
That was season 2 already?
That was season 2.
Yeah. Oh my goodness, yeah. Okay. So we're gonna take it back. You started acting as a child.
Correct.
So tell us about that, because a lot of people know you as the NFL player, but they don't know that you also was a childhood star.
Yeah, so I started back in 2005. Mm-hmm. I was around the age of 10 when I first got my first audition, which was for the movie Constellation, directed by Jordan Walker Perlman, and I played the young Billy Dee Williams. So how that came about was I was sitting at the dinner table with my family, and you know, we watching the news, and it comes across as an open call audition for this movie.
Really?
So this wasn't nothing that I was preparing for.
Right.
I was just always, you know, like the life of the party, the class clown. And I saw the opportunity, and we laughed about it. And my parents was like, "You want to do it?" I was like, "Let's do it."
Yeah.
And the thing was, I had a basketball game that same day, but I was like, "No, let's go to it. Let's try it."
Mm-hmm.
My parents, I don't think they thought I was serious about it. I was up at like 7 o'clock, like, "We doing it or not?" So we go down to the audition, and there's hundreds and hundreds of kids. I didn't think it was gonna be that, and I get in there and I knock it out and end up landing my first role, and I go from this kid in what, third or fourth grade, and my life changed overnight. I'm in the back seat of the car with Gabrielle Union and Billy Dee Williams, like, you know.
Wow. Like, what did that feel like? You were 10 years old riding with Billy Dee. Let's first of all, Billy Dee Williams.
Mm-hmm.
First
yeah,
of
I
all,
to yeah, young Billy Dee Williams.
And Gab Union. Wow.
Yeah. So, you know, I heard about Billy Dee, you know, from all my aunties and grandmamas.
Yeah.
They love him, you know, from Star Wars and everything.
Yeah.
So when I landed that role, it was just major. But I didn't know the magnitude it had behind it and where it would take me. And I think, like, after, you know, I landed the role and they saw, like, the charisma I had, just the talent I had, just from the small part that I had, they were like, "You got to move this kid out to L.A. So from there, me and my mom, we picked up and moved out to L.A. My dad and my brother, they stayed in Alabama because he was in high school.
Yeah.
So.
Wow. So I knew you were young then, but like, what was that like being away from your brother and your dad?
That was tough, but it just kind of shows, you know, the commitment we have as a family.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're going to sacrifice what we got to do. My dad, he had his own barbershop, and again, my brother was in school.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for my mom to, you know, sacrifice being away from her other son and her husband, you know, I just got to, you know, just give her all the praise and, you know, the glory, because, you know, she sacrificed her life for me.
I love your mom. Shout out Miss Tammy.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing mother, just an amazing woman as well. I want to make note about how family oriented you guys are.
Yes.
Like, you guys are the epitome of family, and I absolutely love it. So you move out to LA, you're a kid trying to pursue this acting career. What was that like at that age? Because I know once you got in L.A., that's a different world than Alabama.
Absolutely. coming from Huntsville, Alabama, going to L.A., it was definitely a culture shock. But, you know, I kind of fit right in. You know, I can adjust in any environment. I feel like, you know, that's one of my my things, you know, just adapting. So just being out there in that spotlight, just being around other celebrities, other kid actors. I went to a school out there that was mainly for kid actors. We all stayed in this one apartment complex called the Oakwood Apartments, and we went to school right down the street. Oh. So it wasn't too tough of a, you know, Devin, but you know. Mm-hmm.
Now, what opportunities came up? What auditions came up? I know there were some almost where you were supposed to be certain characters, and I want to talk about how that may have played an effect on your mental as a kid.
Yeah, so out there, while I was out there, I think I landed quite a few roles. The next movie was with Cuba Gooding Jr., Dirty. I landed that. I landed a TV show on NBC. It ended up not getting picked up. We shot the pilot. I landed a few things, and the last thing that I landed was Madea's family reunion with Tyler Perry.
Yep.
Man, thank you, TP. But and then from there, the next role that I almost got that you're talking about was Everybody Hates Chris.
Yeah.
I was auditioning for the role of Chris, and I was right there. To the point where we pretty much signed a contract, and you know how they do. Gotta recast if it don't look right, and you know. That was a tough blow.
Yeah.
For sure. Because I really thought I had it. But as a kid, you know, I got used to, you know, no's.
Yeah.
We get a lot of no's in this industry. So I just kept going. And then from there, the next role was for House of Pain. So.
Yes.
I want to say Ruben Cannon and Tyler, you know, they had the, that was his first show, right?
With his CBS deal, yeah.
He was filming in Atlanta and they called me down. They're like, hey, we got this role for you. Come audition for it. And it was the same kind of exact way with Everybody Hates Chris. Thought we was setting up our apartment and everything here, and it got recasted.
My goodness. So what was that like as a kid? Because I know that was the first blow was Everybody Hates Chris, and then you get to Atlanta thinking, okay, I got this one, and then it's like stripped away from you. What type of toll did that take on you as a kid?
It took a lot out of me because I just thought it was, ooh, this is finally my breakthrough that I've been working for the last 3 to 4 years. But at the same time, you can ask my mom, it was like, I took it and it, you know, it just fell right off my shoulder. I was like, no, we good, you know.
Yeah.
Whatever God got for me, he got for me. And I don't know how I had that mindset at that age, but I did. And after I lost that last one, I told my mom that I was ready to go back to Huntsville and be a kid again, just to, you know, experience different things.
That's me. I love that. Okay, so you move back to Huntsville. I want to be a kid again.
Yes.
I can understand that because that's a lot as a kid to pursue. As an adult, we know what it's like pursuing acting. Mm-hmm. So I can't imagine what that's like as a child. Was your mom supportive or did she feel like, boy, I done uprooted and did all this?
No, I think she was ready too. You know, like I said, we had been out there on the grind for 3 to 4 years. And I think we both just kind of needed a break or reset. I didn't know there was going to be that long of a reset. But again, I was missing out on so much time. I'm thousands of miles away from my friends and I'm on MySpace just seeing them have fun. And
MySpace.
I'm not here. Right, MySpace. That's how, you know. So
that's how old you are.
Yes, yeah. Come on. Don't do me like that. Don't do me like that.
Oh, okay. I thought I'd be dating myself when I talk about MySpace. Nah, okay, you was in the MySpace era. Okay, then. I guess you're not a baby no more. Okay.
There we go.
We settled that.
But no, like I said, I'm just wanting to be a kid again. I wanted to go play sports because I didn't get to play sports out there. And I was working. I was legit working and getting homeschooled on set. So I just wanted to
be a kid.
Be a kid.
Yeah, I get that. So I want to talk about you being homeschooled as a childhood actor on set and basically missing your childhood. Do you feel like that's okay? Or would you even want your son doing that at a young age?
It's tricky. It's a tricky business. I feel like you can get lost in it, you know, if you don't have a strong support group because they throw a lot of things at you and they love the vulnerable people. And kids are very vulnerable in that industry. And it's a lot of things that happen out there that, you know, I'm just not with. You know, it was different situations that came across when I was a kid and thank God for my mama, she saw it and, you know, no, we're not doing that. No, he's not coming there. You know what I mean? So, but as far as the homeschooling aspect, you know, it's definitely difficult. It's different from being in the classroom. I don't think it's necessarily normal. I would like for my child to be in a, you know, a real school system and learning. I don't know if I'll let my son go out there.
Yeah.
I just want to protect him.
I know.
I just want to protect him.
I even feel like kids would miss out on a lot of development.
For sure.
You know, just being around other kids their age. And
for sure.
I know you pick up, at that age, you're absorbing everything. And I feel like you almost grew up really fast because you meet a lot of childhood actors and they are so mature. They almost act like adults.
No, for sure.
And it's like, oh my gosh. It's and at so one point weird. You're so impressed, but then it's like, dang, like you it's are so an old person. Like,
I haven't like, seen too many too good fast. Stories come from that, from yeah. childhood actors, you know. Mm-hmm. And I met a lot of friends out there, and I'm just seeing where they are now. And it's yeah. like, man, I just, it's sad, honestly. Mm-hmm. But I know it just comes from being in that spotlight and being in that industry at a young age. And yeah. just taking over. So.
Yeah. Are you grateful that you had the wherewithal to say, hey, mom, I want to go home. I want to be a kid again.
Absolutely. I don't know where I would be, you mm-hmm. know, if I would have stayed out there in, that, yeah. in Hollywood. Mm-hmm. It's scary out there.
It is. So, man. Yeah. So you get back to Alabama, mm-hmm. and that's when you realize you love football. Or what was it that sparked that?
Well, honestly, I really didn't start playing football again until high school. So.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Okay, this is interesting.
Yeah, so I got back around middle school, and I was playing basketball. My brother played basketball, so. Mm-hmm. I wanted to play basketball. Yeah. That's what I was doing. And they were like, man, just come out. Because I was good when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I'm in LA. We're not tackling. So I'm like, I'm good on that.
Right.
I'm going to stay, play basketball, mm-hmm. you know. But, yeah, I got into football, I want to say my ninth grade year, and it just took off. Mm-hmm. You know, I was never the five-star, you know, recruit. I never had, you know, all these scholarships, but I just grinded. I had mm-hmm. the discipline, and I knew what I wanted.
Yeah.
And that I was like, okay. My mom always told me, you going to college. Mm-hmm. So that was another reason I wanted to go back, because we talked about it. I'm like, okay, I'll go to college, but if I'm going to go to college, we're not paying for it. Mm-hmm. So I need to get a scholarship,
yeah.
right?
You thought like that as a kid?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't think that we had the money to pay mm-hmm. for college. I didn't, you know, but I knew I could get a scholarship. Mm-hmm. And I ended up not getting a scholarship, you know. Wow. Through. So here's another situation that happened right before my senior year. I was at a camp, 7-on-7 camp. And I broke both of my jaws. You know, I ran face to face with another player, ugh. And I shattered everything. So,
oh my gosh,
I got wires and screws, all plates in my jaw. Yeah. So I was wired down for 6 weeks. And all of the recruitment and, you know, momentum that I had going into my senior year, it went away.
Ugh.
You know, so that was just another tough, mm-hmm. you know, situation. And it ended up leading to me having to walk on to Grambling State University. So it's kind of.
Wow. I love that. So it's given underdog, and it's definitely given the story of an underdog for sure.
Absolutely.
And an overcomer.
Yeah.
It seemed like you had to overcome a lot.
I truly, I live that, you know, the mm-hmm. underdog. Mm-hmm. So that's me.
Okay, so we get to college. What was next? Because how did college go? Were you like a breakout star? Your walk on?
Yeah.
Another situation. I want you guys to pay attention to the story, because a lot of times people see you where you are now mm-hmm. on a hit show, but don't understand like what it took to get there and the different avenues that you take to find your passion.
Right.
And yours has been like blow after blow after blow, even from a childhood actor to now we're in college, mm-hmm. didn't get the scholarship you wanted, walked on, so you're constantly having to prove yourself. So yeah. What was that like?
Truthfully, I think that everything that I went through as a kid and in high school, it prepared me for that journey that I was about to take mm-hmm. when I got to college. Because legit, when I walked on, maybe one coach knew who I was.
Wow.
And that was through a friend of a friend. Mm. My best friend that signed a scholarship there. And I was like, if I'm going to walk on somewhere, I'm going to go with you. Mm-hmm. So
wow.
We ended up choosing Grambling State University. And like I said, nobody knew me. I wasn't a big time recruit, but I worked and I mm-hmm. worked hard and I earned my spot mm-hmm. to the point where they had to play me.
Yeah.
I didn't get a scholarship until like my junior year.
Mm. Wow.
So and I broke out and I just started balling, honestly. Mm-hmm. And the momentum picked up. I started getting a lot of scouts coming, checking mm-hmm. for me by my senior year. And I thought I was going to get drafted, mm-hmm. you know, and of course, I didn't get drafted. I went undrafted. So again, that story just continues with me.
Yeah.
So yeah.
At any point, we're to college now. At any point, were you like leaning on God or losing faith? Because it's like, dang, God, like every time I feel like I'm making a step, it's like another roadblock. Was there any moment where you were kind of like, come on now?
No, definitely. I think, you know, once you go through those type of moments, it tests your faith.
Mm-hmm.
And it puts you, you know, in a lot of moments where it's just you got to sit alone and truly figure out, is this what I want, you know? And then you have to lean on your support system. I had an amazing support system, mm-hmm. you know, my parents, my brother, and they just sticking with me. And at times, honestly, they believe in me more than I believe in myself,
yeah,
you know, which I thank them so much for. Mm-hmm. But definitely, I didn't know that if I was good enough. I always had that back in, you know, the back of my mind. Mm-hmm. Like, can I do this?
Right.
Like, I'm coming from a small HBCU in little Louisiana, so I didn't know if I was good enough.
Wow.
But I knew I had the formula to make it where I wanted to make it.
Mm-hmm. That's good. I love that. So you get, we're in your junior year of college. You're getting all these recruits. Scouts are looking at you, thinking you're going to get drafted to the NFL. You don't get drafted.
No.
What happens next?
Ooh. And it's crazy because I legit thought I was going to get drafted, man. I say my phone was ringing multiple times a day. I'm having conversation with these scouts and these coaches, and draft day comes, and, you know, day one, you don't get picked. You know, day two, you got all your family around, you're watching it, and day two, day three, and you still don't get picked, but you're getting calls throughout the draft to where the point where, like, hey, you still there? We're just checking on you. So I'm okay, cool. Somebody, at least I'm get picked by six, seven rounds.
Right.
And you don't get the call, and it's like,
how many days is the NFL draft?
What is it, 2 to 3 days?
Okay.
I think, yeah, it's 2 to 3 days. So just not getting that call.
Hey, sweeties. Have you ever wondered what's in the products you use on a daily basis? Well, let me tell you about Elle. Elle, like the letter, is a brand committed to providing you period care products inspired by nature, made without dyes, fragrances, and synthetic pesticides. Their pads have a breathable cotton top layer and a plant-based core, and their tampons contain an organic cotton core. Now, not only can you feel good about Elle's ingredients, but also Elle's price. With tampons and pads that protect for under $5 a month, Elle believes access to period care is not only a fundamental right for everyone, but an opportunity for change as well. That's why Elle is on a mission to make exceptional period care accessible for all by providing funding each year to nonprofit community-based organizations around the world focused on period care accessibility, menstrual health education, and employment opportunities. So, if you're looking for a brand that aligns with your values of giving back and using products inspired by nature, look no further than Elle. If you want to learn more about their mission or browse their full range of products, visit their website at thisiselle.com. And the next time you're in the period care aisle, look for Elle pads and tampons. Choose love, choose Elle.
Another gut blow.
Yeah.
But I got a call.
I can't imagine that one.
As soon as the draft was over, the Indianapolis Colts had called, and they were one of the first ones that really connected with me throughout the process. It was between them, the Jets, and the Giants. And I ended up going with the Colts just based off their roster and just how much they really, you know, poured into me.
I love that. I love that. So you are in the NFL, and then something traumatic happens with your family.
Yes.
I feel like it's important to touch on this because there's so many highs and lows in all of our stories, and you just never know what people have gone through. Would you like to share what happened?
So, I mean, going back to the draft day, I'll never forget the moment I got the call and accepted, you know, going out, walking, being undrafted to the Colts. It was a special moment that me, my mom, my brother, my dad had. But after we celebrated, my mom, she got this discernment, you know, that God blesses her with.
Your mama, she sure do.
She has it.
Tammy got that discernment.
Mama always know. And it was a moment where she was like, I hope y'all ready. Because the devil is, he's mad. We just got blessed with this, but whatever you got going on, clean it up.
Yeah.
And we got to walk a straight line because the devil's about to be busy. And you know, you hear it, but at the moment, it's like you celebrate.
Like, Mama,
we good.
Turn up.
Right. Like, I'm not trying to think negative, but she just got to, you know, she got to keep it real. So,
no, for real.
Going into my rookie year, I ended up making a team. And the first away game we had, my parents came and the house got broken into. Right? Like, they came, they took everything. I'm talking about everything. Like, wiped it clean. Like, it was probably one of the most traumatic moments for my family. So that happened. Boom. The second incident happened, my dad is coming home from work. Two men, you know, jump out at gunpoint trying to rob my dad.
Oh, my goodness.
And it wasn't nobody but God, because he didn't have a weapon. He just ran in, they ran away. And then the last thing that happened was my dad ended up getting jammed up in a situation to where, you know, he ended up going to prison. And this all happens, you know, back to back to back in like in a 5-week span.
Oh my God, of your rookie year.
Of my rookie year.
This supposed to be like the highest moment of your life.
Absolutely.
And all these things are happening.
All these things are happening. For the longest, I don't know if the word or the name for it is survivor's guilt, but mm-hmm. like I kind of, I held it on me and mm-hmm. I felt like I brought this attention to the family mm-hmm. to where, you know, all this bad stuff started happening. So like,
yeah.
I was just walking around depressed for like the longest because mm-hmm. I lost my father figure. You know, my father in a special time in my life that I wanted to celebrate with him.
Absolutely.
And I needed him
mm-hmm.
and he yeah. was gone for 3 years. So it was tough.
Wow. So every day, every Sunday that you had to go out there, what was that like playing, knowing that I know your mom and your grandparents and your brother were probably there, but mm-hmm. what was it like looking up there knowing that my pops is not here?
It was tough. It was tough because, you know, you want him there. He was there when I scored my first because he didn't end up, you know, getting convicted and leaving until my second year. But
Oh, wow.
He was there for my first touchdown.
And Oh.
when I scored, I took the ball up there to him. He came down, running down. Mm-hmm. So just yeah. knowing that he wasn't there for the next 3 years, it was tough, but mm-hmm. I knew he was inside.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to put on for him because I know he in there watching
yeah.
with his fellas. So, yeah, it was tough, but mm-hmm. we made it through.
Yeah. You talked about depression, and that's something that I feel like our community battles a lot. Mm-hmm. And we're just getting to the point now where we are embracing therapy or embracing talking to someone. I don't feel like therapy was as popular or trendy as it is now then when you were going through it. So how did you even deal with it? Or did you even realize I'm depressed? Or is it now that you're able to identify that was actually depression?
Yeah, I didn't know what it was. I didn't know what that feeling was. Mm-hmm. I never went through it. It wasn't until like I had no other choice and no one to lean on except, you know, my God and my family, and ended up having to do my own research mm-hmm. and try different people out to talk to mm-hmm. be able to release, you know, certain things, and it really, really helped. And I'm doing it to this day. So,
yeah,
yeah, no, depression is something that I think, you know, it's relevant now.
Mm-hmm.
It's important. You got to be self-aware and don't be embarrassed about it. Like, we all go through something.
We
know?
Do, yeah. Because I think we, especially, I can't speak for men myself, but I know the stress and the pressure that's put on our Black men
mm-hmm.
to where you have to be so strong. And even Black women, we have to be strong. We got to keep pushing. And a lot of times we don't deal with what we're dealing with. We don't take the time to just sit down and be like, wait a minute, I'm really going through something right now. Mm-hmm. And you do feel embarrassed or you don't know how to talk to somebody about it.
Like, it's okay not to be okay. Like, we're human.
Yes, you know what I mean?
Like,
exactly.
We're not robots. So,
yeah.
Like, don't not be embarrassed. Like,
mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. I love that. So, let's fast forward. You're playing football, and then I meet you in 2022?
I think 22.
Yeah, 22.
Yeah.
And this is when you are still playing football. This mm-hmm. is something that I don't feel like a lot of athletes have gotten to do, like actively acting and playing football. You were doing both at the same time.
Yeah.
What was it like when you found, well, actually, no, let's go back to how did even the role of
Sterling Black
coming apart, because I know you were in Atlanta mm-hmm. off season and then this happened. Like, how did that even
yes.
come about?
So going back a little bit, I was with the Tennessee Titans and mm-hmm. we had just finished the playoffs, second round, we lost to the Bengals.
Shout out to Titans.
lost to the Bengals. We were supposed to go to the Super Bowl that year. I'm still sick about that. But
so
off season hit. I'm probably 1 month into the off season and I'm going into my, you know, I just really got into my entrepreneur type,
yep.
you know, stuff. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking at buildings, you know, for a business that I'm about to open.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we're still on the side of the road and the family pulls up and they're asking, you know, where to go get breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh, you know, it's another little spot down there called Two Thumbs Up.
Love Two Thumbs Up, yes.
So we tell them where to go and they're like, oh, wow, we're hungry too.
Mm-hmm.
So we go to Two Thumbs Up and we're standing out there. It's a long wait. We see this guy over there with a BMF hoodie,
mm-hmm.
him and his wife. So we didn't think nothing of it, but we're like, hold on, he can't be in a real BMF.
Right.
You know, like, he can't be.
Rocking
so, you know, of course,
the t-shirt. Yeah.
Right, right. So it's like, nah.
Yeah.
He can't be with me, Chanel.
Right.
You know, my Dukes, she always thinking. She's mm-hmm. always 10 steps ahead. So
right.
I see her walk away. I'm still talking to Pop. She over there, talk to him. Okay, cool.
Mm-hmm.
She come back. She's like, yo, that's the producer. You know, that's the producer of BMF. She introduced herself. They were just talking. So we go. We get sit down. They're still standing out there. So we're like, let's just invite them for breakfast. You know,
right.
See where it goes.
Mm-hmm.
They come, they join us. And we just hit it off. You know,
wow.
It's one of the most amazing families, Ian Wolf and Miss Patricia Wolf. I mm-hmm. love them.
Yeah.
And we really just hit it off. And I just shot my shot, you mm-hmm. know, just
Come on now, sometimes you got to shoot your shot.
Yeah, you got to shoot it. You can't be scared. So I didn't have a resume or my headshots. I put all that together like this. Mm-hmm. And once he reached out to Randy and, you know, told him about me, I left it at that. You know what I'm saying? I put it in God's hand. I left it at that. And legit, 2 weeks later, I'm in Houston with my son. I check my email like 10 o'clock at night, and it says, you have an audition due in 48 hours.
You know how that is.
That quick, listen, you know what I'm saying?
I get them from Denora all the time, like,
so I legit did not think that it was going to happen that fast. I really didn't think I was going to get an audition. Mm-hmm. It was just like a long shot.
Yeah.
But I ended up getting that audition, and like we went right back to when I was 10 years old in L.A.
Yeah, it was almost like muscle memory.
Yeah, it was muscle memory. I flew back to Atlanta. I went and got my wardrobe. I called an acting coach. And 24 hours, audition.
How long did it take for you to find out that you actually booked the role?
Truthfully? I got hit back in probably like an hour.
You are lying.
I promise you. I got hit back.
I wish I would get through.
I know, right?
I need to know now. They'd be like, yeah, we just decided to go in a different direction.
There wasn't nobody but God. So,
that was nothing but God. Wow.
Yeah, GP, George Pierre, hit me back in like an hour checking
Shout out George Pierre.
Shout out George. Yes. That's my guy.
Yes.
You know, checking my availability. Mm-hmm. But I didn't get confirmed probably like until 2 weeks later. Mm-hmm. But I kind of, you know, knew.
Knew. Like, you was waiting. It's like,
I was just waiting for confirmation. So it happened quick.
Okay. So waiting on this confirmation, was there any moment where you had a little doubt thinking like how you had almost gotten all these other roles where you were like, fall through? Did
for
that
sure.
come through? Okay.
That's why like we didn't tell anybody. Like I told my parents about it, but we didn't want to tell anybody. We're like, look, we've been here before.
Yeah.
Twice actually. So let's just keep it between us, pray about it. I just let it happen.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, yeah. So now we are in season
three. 3 is on right now, and we're about to shoot season 4 starting this month.
This is crazy. Absolutely. And you're killing it.
BMF
is one of my favorite shows. Okay. It's so good. The cast is amazing. And every time I see you come on the screen, I'm like, that's my dog. So proud of you. You're killing
it. Thank you so much.
So, a lot of times when athletes come out of that where that's all they've known all their life and they're stepping into a new area or even trying to figure it out, I feel like you're super blessed in the area that, I feel like you're super blessed that you were able to go straight from playing football right into acting. You really didn't have like that phase of like, what am I going to do?
Yeah.
You know? But it was also, it's a new world. Mm-hmm. You're an adult now. You're not a kid anymore. And what you're portraying is a real life character. This isn't just like a character. This is actually a person that you're portraying. So what type of, I don't want to say pressure, but like, was there any pressure when it came to, I've got to really nail this role because this is an actual person?
At first, so, you know, a lot of these guys that we're really portraying are going through real life situations.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them still are in prison. Yeah. So it was a lot. It was very minimal of the information that we got about the character, especially mine.
Yeah, I tried to look him up. It's not a lot of information.
Right,
he's like
a
ghost almost.
Right, exactly. Like I legit had to go through like court documents and read their cases just to get some information.
Mm-hmm.
But now, unfortunately, you know, especially this season, a lot of the guys from Puritan Ave, PA Boys, shout out to PA Boys. They're reaching out to me.
Oh, good. To give you information on your character. So Sterling, is he still alive?
Mm-hmm.
Is he locked up?
Yeah, no. So one of them still locked up, and so like the group, but another one's out. So, but they're still best friends to this day. So yeah, the process of portraying this character has really started to pick up. I want to say the last 2 seasons because like one of the characters, his sister, she connected with me and like we just been communicating.
Wow.
And I'm really trying to, you know, get this character development down,
get
as much information. Like last night I watched a documentary on the PA Boys and I'm like, okay, see, I wish I had this in season 2.
Right.
I was blind in season 2. I'm just going out there just reading the description I got in my audition and winging it. But now I feel way more prepared and
that's good. I love that. It's amazing when you can actually like find information and actually build the character, because sometimes when you like, even with my character on Sisters, I'm not learning a lot of things until the writer writes about
it.
So I'm like, oh, this is why she's like this. But if I had known this in season 1, I may have played some things differently, you know? So I know exactly what you mean when it's like, you feel like you're behind the mark in the character development part.
Like, how does he walk? How does he talk?
Right.
He got family. Like, what is he? Like, tell me who this guy is. And I had nothing. So it was a little difficult.
Something I struggle with as an actor is the character I portray and who I am in real life, mm-hmm. and my relationship with God, and it kind of gets tricky sometimes. Sure. Do you ever have moments playing like this gangster, this killer? Because Sterling Black don't play.
He does not play.
Do you ever have any like moments where you're like, God, is this cool? Because I know for me, it's Fatima. Like, there's certain things that they have me doing. I'm like, okay, I know this ain't who I am, but this is the character I'm playing.
Yeah, well, I can truthfully say in the moment, mm-hmm. I don't think about it, but after I'm done with it and my grandparents have to go watch it and, you know, stuff like that, I'm like, oh, please, look grandma, it's not me for real.
Right.
I'm still your baby, you know what I'm saying? So
she's like, is my baby a killer?
Yeah, and they are into it, you know what I'm saying?
Like,
they love it. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of a little embarrassing sometimes. And I'm cussing and doing all that,
right?
But, you know, we portraying the character.
She's so. Like, you did that real well, grandson.
Yeah, you've been doing that.
Right. <I'm> like, yeah. Like, this ain't your first time doing that.
You look comfortable smoking that, you know what I'm saying? So,
That is funny. But yeah, I definitely struggle with that as well. I finally come to an understanding that it's my job, mm-hmm. and that that's why I go extra hard in making sure that people know who Crystal is and that I set the example as Crystal,
sure.
not as my characters that I play. Because
you're doing an amazing job at doing
thank
that.
You. So. Thank you. Thank you so much. I remember this part of the scene where you had to do like the switchblade, mm-hmm. and you told me like you had to learn, they didn't give you any training. You literally had to learn that like right
God.
On the spot.
Yes, that was my first day on set. I'm reading the script. I'm reading the audition. So I got just like a regular night the whole time, mm-hmm. as I'm preparing for this. I get on set, sitting in my trailer. The stunt double just walks up like, hey, that's what we need you to do. Get on YouTube, figure it out.
Get on YouTube and figure it out. What?
Like a real knife. So Was it switchblade?
Uh-huh.
It was something. But it's a certain way. It's a technique
yeah.
to it. It's like you just can't open it up.
Right.
So I had like an hour, maybe two at the most, mm-hmm. to figure this out and nail it for my first scene.
Wow.
So it went from, oh, I got this. I'm confident. I know my lines.
Yep.
It was one scene together. I know my lines. I got this.
Okay.
Now I'm tripping. I didn't forgot it when we got on set. I forgot my line because I'm so worried about this blade.
Right.
But man, though, it looked good.
It did look good.
They made it.
But yeah. I mean, that just goes to show you can be ready, and then anything can be thrown at you on set.
No, for sure.
You just gotta adjust. So. No, you do. But I couldn't tell when you told me that story before I watched the episode. I was like, I couldn't even tell. Like,
I was so stressed out.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
But well, you're an actor because I could not tell.
For real. And then I'm at the same time of opening the blade, mm. I'm trying not to stab this man for real because, you know, I got to come
down. Oh, right. His hand. Yeah. So they didn't have, it wasn't like a fake, like when you got ready to stab, it wasn't fake?
So no. So I had to stop right in between his fingers and we cut it. And then we did a reverse, you know.
Uh-huh.
I had it in the table and then
reverse.
Pull
it out.
So
okay.
When you see it, it just looks,
wow,
you know, good.
TV magic. That's crazy.
Yeah. Okay. I got another scene this season too where I legit stab him this time and it's gonna be crazy.
Oh wow. It's gonna be crazy. It's gonna be crazy. Yeah, grandma is gonna be like, oh Lord, my baby's a killer. Oh Lord. So what is it like? You're walking on set, you're the new kid on the block.
Mm-hmm.
You got Lil Meat, who is, we're like literally telling his legacy story, right. you know, of his father. Mm-hmm. And then you have Da Vinci, who's been on a lot of things. What was it like working with him? Was there any like timidness, or were you kind of like, ugh?
Hey, Kiss family, it's time to celebrate Black History Month at the Walmart Black and Unlimited Clock. One at Flatiron Plaza in New York City, one at Ovation Hollywood in Los Angeles from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. with giveaways dropping every hour on the hour. It's the perfect time to try, like, and share Black-led products. It's free. That's right. And it's for everyone. And it's your chance to see how you can level up your daily routine with Black-led products that are creating a new world of choices at Walmart. Trust me, you don't want to miss it.
I know for me, I definitely felt a little timidness when I first walked on Sisters.
I think just being in the NFL kind of prepares me for that. You know, going on to new teams,
mm-hmm.
It's always new faces.
True.
It was just like, you know, walking in a training camp, you know, seeing your new teammates. But, you know, you're definitely a little nervous because, mm-hmm. you know, you're new to it. I'm a new kid on the block. Even though I started at the age of 10,
mm-hmm.
I'm new with this.
Yeah.
Everything is different. So you know, everybody's not really there to make friends when you first get on there until you know, get chemistry and
he cool. Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it took a little time, but I was just staying to myself and working, showing, you know, letting my work speak for itself.
Yes.
And then I'm not trying to win nobody over. I'm here to do a job. So that's kind of how I approach it.
I love that. So you made it to your first big acting gig. Mm-hmm. What is next for Trey?
Well, for me, you know, just really continuing to kill, you know, BMF. I have a book that I'm working on, a children's book.
Okay. What prompted the children's book?
So what prompted it was basically my story and then my son. So, you know, I have a 2.5-year-old. He's about to be 3 in May.
Lord.
But just
growing up so fast.
No, I know. But just, you know, having him, it just opened up my imagination again. Mm. And man, I would truly say that process of writing that book and illustrating it was one of the best times I had. It's so fun.
Aww.
And I'm gonna turn it into an entire series. But
dope.
Outside of that, you know, about to start working on a documentary. I really wanna, you know, get some work behind the camera as much as I do.
Mm-hmm. In front of, yeah, like, no, I need
them,
for sure.
I need them executive credits and them producer credits. Okay. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So that and, you know, just really, you know, get into my entrepreneurship and open up more businesses.
That's, I love that.
What's next for me?
That's what's up. I want to touch on the spirit of rejection. You chose two of the most, I would say, careers that you get rejected the most, an athlete and an actor.
Yeah.
And I can speak on the actor part where no after no after no after no after no. But has that spirit of rejection ever flowed into other areas of your life? Because I'm sure, like, I know for me, like, that insecurity definitely has come up in other areas of my life.
No, for sure. And a lot of people probably wouldn't even believe it, but I think, again, I started at the age of 10.
Mm-hmm.
I've been hearing no all my life, so I definitely have a lot of insecurities, just never knowing if I'm good enough for something, always doubting myself, feeling like others are better than me in certain things, and I'm maybe not, you know, experienced in, so I just have to fight that all the time. It's like, even in relationships too, though, you know, just wondering if you're good enough for somebody, and it's like, yo, you are him. Like, I have
to,
I'm like, you know what I'm saying? You got to tell yourself, like, you are the catch, you are him, you're good enough, and, you know what I'm saying, stop doubting yourself. Like, truly be that guy. And I think that insecurity has caused me to kind of play myself down in a lot of situations, being too humble.
You are very, I think, you kind of like, in a room, you kind of like disappear.
Yeah.
Like, you don't, like, you know what I'm saying? Once you get to know, he's like, oh, he is a standout. Yeah. But like, in a room, you are super quiet, like tucked off, like not attention seeking at all.
I gotta fix that, you know what I mean? Because you can play yourself out of position, you know what I'm saying? Out of certain situations when you're too humble.
Mm-hmm.
And it's okay to be humble, but you gotta be a little arrogant, you know? You gotta be a little full of yourself in certain situations.
And no, confident.
Absolutely. It ain't gotta come off as, you know.
Yeah, pompous or like, I'm better than you, but
right.
I know what I bring to the table.
Exactly, and that's really what I'm getting to over the last 2 years, is truly just believing in myself.
Because sometimes that spirit of rejection can turn into insecurity, and then in relationships, we use it as a defense mechanism to not get hurt.
Yep.
You know, we can kind of set something with our partner, or whatever the situation may be. And I know for me, like, I'll get ahead of him and be like, before you try to cut me off, I'm going to go ahead and cut you off.
That is me. Oh, my God. I shut down so quick. I ain't even going to give you a chance to hurt me. So I'm going to just, look here, I'm going to just shut it down.
Yeah, because we put ourselves on the line time after time after time with every audition, with every tryout. That I think when it comes to other areas, we just want to protect ourselves.
For sure. Yeah. For sure, because I definitely became numb to it. Damn, even with auditions, I forget that I auditioned for it, because once I'm done with it,
You have to leave it at the audition room. When you walk out, send it to your agent. I send it to Denora, and I wait on her reaction. I'm like, all right, after that, I'm done with it. I don't want to think about it.
Worst, because like, when I first started back auditioning, and I would audition for something, I'm like, oh, I killed this.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm checking my email all day, every day. You know what I'm saying? Don't let you get a call back. I got a call back or check my availability. Yes. I'm calling my manager. Yo, what's up? What we doing?
That, like, check your availability, boy, will get you every time.
What? So, you got to. Erase it. Short-term memory.
I love that. That's good. So, how are you now with it? Do you feel like you're getting better with managing that? and not getting in your own way as far as the spirit of rejection?
In what aspect?
In relationships. Relationships or just even personal with business.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's an everyday fight, you know what I'm saying? Just being more self-aware, just working on myself. That's kind of where I'm at now and everything. So I'm not really, you know, focused on the relationships, but
I got so much on relationships. Because you know we got to get to that.
Yeah. So I'm just working on myself.
That's good. Yeah. So are you dating? Do you, like, what are you looking for? Like, because you're, I feel like you're in a space now where you've got the job, you know, you, you're settled, you're successful. Like, what are you looking for? And or are you still in a space where, no, I don't have time for that. I got to get it.
No, I truly just don't think I have time to really pour into a relationship like I would like to. Like, if I'm going to commit to something, I want to be 100% there.
Yeah.
And with everything that's on my plate right now, it's like, it's kind of impossible.
Yeah.
So for me, it's like just learning to prioritize, trying to, you know, be there for my son as much as possible. I'm missing out on so much time, you know, trying to juggle all this stuff. That's probably one of the hardest thing about this right now. It's like, do I sacrifice this for this? But I know I have to do what I have to do, you know what I'm saying, for him, for his, you know, future. So it's just, I'm figuring it out.
I love that. Kai.
Kyron,
that's it. I'm about to call him Cairo because there's a Devalli Cadiz name.
Yeah,
Kyron. I feel like when you're trying to balance that, the kid has to come first.
Absolutely.
You know, and then make time for other things as you have time.
Everything will take care of itself.
It will.
Yeah, for
that's
sure.
That's good. All right. So, ladies, he is not looking for anything right now. He doesn't have the bandwidth or the capacity, so check back later. All right, guys, it is my favorite time of the show, Positive Outcomes, where you, the listeners, write into me and Trey are going to give you advice on it. All right, so this one says, I saw one of your recent interviews and it literally changed my life. I was having a really tough time dealing with a career that I knew wasn't for me, especially knowing that I was meant to be doing something more. You talked about pivoting careers and being in a season of pouring into yourself, which is something that I need to work on. But I believe God often uses people to speak to others, and that day he definitely used you to speak to me. Because that was the moment I felt this flood of emotions and a voice say that it was okay to go after my dreams of being a graphic designer, video editor, and that feeling has not gone away. But in pursuing my passion and finding my purpose, my life has been turned upside down on multiple occasions. I swear it seems like every time I start to gain momentum, there's a major life event that happens, a divorce, multiple deaths in the family, losing my job, you name it, that knocks the wind out of me. Sometimes it feels like I'm so close to my breakthrough, yet so far away. How do you find strength, motivation, and the courage to continue pursuing your passion, walking in your purpose during those moments when it feels like everything is stacked against you? Well, I feel like this is both our stories.
For sure.
We both can relate to this. First of all, thank you so much for writing in. I'm glad that my interview spoke to you. That's my story, you know, and that's why I tell my journey, and I tell it as many times as possible because you just never know who's going to be impacted on that particular day and inspired. But I would tell you that there's been so many times in my journey where I felt like the odds were stacked against me and that I was almost there, and I know Trey can attest to this as well, moments where we really felt like we're getting closer and closer to our breakthrough, and then something else happens, or the job doesn't come through, or, oh, we pick somebody else. In those moments, I just made sure that I stayed firm in my faith. If this is what God has planted in your heart and you know this is what you really want to do, just stick to it because it's going to happen. But it's going to happen in God's timing. And often, I feel like when I feel like... When I find myself in those moments where I'm starting to say, okay, God, is this what you really have for me? And I start to doubt myself, I just take a moment to be still because in those moments, that's when God really reveals himself. He'll send you some type of affirmation, whether it's watching my interview or talking to a friend or getting that phone call that shows you, okay, I am on the right path. That's when you know to stick with it. But I would say just to continue to go after what you really want and don't let anything deter you. Life is going to life. So, you know what I'm saying? Life is going to life, but you have to keep going.
Absolutely.
What do you think?
Yeah, piggybacking off what you're saying, just, you know, staying the course. You know, for me, I truly embrace, again, like I said, the underdog mentality and just knowing that, you know, God's not going to take you out of a storm that he can develop you in. So whatever it is that you're going through, just try to figure out what you can learn through it. He got you in it for a reason.
Oh, he said, what you going through? We're going to get to that. That was good.
Yeah, like whatever it is that you're going through, that's kind of how I try to look at things, change my perspective.
Yeah.
Like, not, oh, why me? But, okay, why am I here? What can I learn from it? And and I just try to keep my faith strong and knowing it's going to work out.
It's all, and it always does. It always works out exactly how it's supposed to be, but it's all in God's timing. I cannot stress that enough, because there's so many times where I'm like, Lord, I need this to work right now. Right. I need this to happen now. And in church yesterday, they were talking about how we're always like seeking progress, but we're not always seeking God's presence. Mm-hmm. So sometimes you can be chasing after this thing, but you're leaving God behind. And Pastor Ty gave an analogy where him and his wife were in the airport. Mm-hmm. They're trying to make it to their gate, and he's walking fast, but he's not realizing he's leaving his wife behind. So he looks back and he realizes, he's like, where am I going? Because I know if I get to the gate, if she ain't with me, I'm not getting on the plane. So what am I doing? So right. I would say make sure that whatever you're chasing after, that you also seek God's presence as you're trying to progress.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That was good.
All right. So what we're going to do next is what I'm going through and what I'm growing through. Ooh. And I'll go first. Okay. Right now, I'm in a season where I feel this immense, like, feeling of growth, transition, elevation, and I find that anxiety kind of creeping back in, like, oh Lord, okay, this is almost like, all right, we're going to another level now. Am I ready for this? Making sure like everything is right. I'm a perfectionist, and I'm trying to get out of that, because shout out Delana Zimmerman, my therapist. She tells me all the time that perfection is a cancer. So I'm trying to still like battle with letting that go, but I want everything to be right, and I want to make sure that I seize the moment, you know what I'm saying, as it comes. And I think you can probably attest to this as actors whose careers are booming right now. You want to strike while the iron is hot, and you want to make sure that you don't, you know what I'm saying, you don't want to fumble the moment,
right.
You know? So right now that's where I am. And also what I just talked about, making sure that as I'm trying to progress, that I keep God's presence in my life, and that I seek that first.
Yeah. So I think we're kind of on the same page. You know, for me, I've just been just getting back grounded spiritually, mentally, physically, getting back, you know, in the gym.
Yeah.
I got to get. yeah, just that growth. I feel like over the last 12 months, I've just been baking a lot of things, just a lot of different things, just working on it from, you know, my businesses and the careers and just, it's time. I feel like it's finally time. It's about to really take off. So I'm ready for it.
I love it.
So yeah.
That's good. Awesome. All right. So lastly, we're going to do Keep It Blank, Sweetie, where we take something that we've kind of talked about that you want to tell the audience, just some words of encouragement for them. So I'm going to tell you guys this week to keep it persistent, sweetie. Keep persistent, it persistent. So Trey, what would be your takeaway for this week?
Keep it focused, sweetie.
There we go. Keep it focused, sweetie. There you have it. Guys, thank you so much for tuning into this episode of Keep It Positive, Sweetie. If you want to write into our open listener letter, you can write into keepitpositivesweetie@gmail.com, and that's sweetie with an I-E. You can also follow me on all platforms at Love Chris Renee on Instagram and Twitter and TikTok, all the things. Trey, tell the people where they can find you. Are you even back on it? Because you're on and off Instagram.
I'm back. I know Instagram is at Tripp with 3 P's, TRIPPP. You can follow me on there.
Okay, so make sure you guys follow him. Check out the newest season of BMF, which is out right now. If you haven't caught on the other ones, make sure you catch up on all of them. Trey, I'm so proud of you. Trey, thank you so much for stopping by. I'm inspired by your story. I hope you guys are inspired as well. Take this into your week with you. I love you guys. In the meantime, in between time, you know what to do. Keep it positive, sweetie. Dora, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for this opportunity to just bring your glory to other people, dear God. Thank you for everyone in this room. Thank you for their talents. I ask that you just be with us today. Let us have fun. Let this be an amazing interview. Thank you for letting Janora make it here safely. Thank you for Trey making it here safely in YM as well. We do not take it for granted, dear Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.